Morning. Glad that you're here today. Let's dismiss Power Kids at this time. I had the privilege a number of years ago of speaking at a church in a small Texas town. And as is true in many small Texas towns, most of the younger people had moved away, and so the church was filled mainly with wonderful older people. But that particular day, there was a guest, a woman who brought three small children with her, and she was having a hard time. Those kids obviously had not been to church often and didn't know much about how to behave there. And apparently, some in the church had forgotten what it was like to have small children in the assembly, because she was getting some stern looks. People wondering, why doesn't she make those kids behave? And one of the littlest began to get so upset that she decided to take him out. And I felt bad for her. I was afraid she'd never come back. And so I stopped my sermon. I said, "Ma'am, your baby is not bothering my preaching." And she looked back and said, "Yeah, but your preaching is bothering my baby." There are an increasing number of arenas in our culture that do not want to be bothered by babies. But when it comes to the matter of children, is the church going to reflect or reject the bias of the culture? Millions of children in our country are going through difficult times. They don't have proper health care. They go to bad schools. They live in high crime districts. They live below the poverty level. But more ominous than that is the not so subtle shift in the last generation in our society regarding the priority of children. Children have always lived in hard times, but they always valued much. It seems to me that's changing. There are three indicators that have seen a dramatic increase in the last generation that reflects on how important we think kids are. One is the increase in abortion. There will be 1.5 million abortions in our country this year, and hardly an eyebrow will be raised. The other is the increased acceptance of little children never being around their families, because mom and dad have adopted a lifestyle that doesn't allow it. Listen to what I'm about to say. 60% of infant to 6 months old in our country do not spend most of the day with their mother. She's somewhere else. And maybe the greatest indicator is the rise in the divorce rates among couples with children. Do you remember over 10, 12 years ago now when then Vice President Dan Quayle criticized a television show that seemed to glorify single motherhood, and he was ridiculed and scorned by the public? A year later, an article came out in Atlantic Monthly titled, "Dan Quayle Was Right." It was written by a woman named Barbara Whitehead, who herself was a registered Democrat. She did not vote for the ticket Quayle was on. But she did extensive research in the future well-being of children that grow up in homes where parents have divorced. And the evidence was overwhelming. Children do better when mom and dad stay together. Dan Quayle was right. And she made in that article a conclusion that I thought was devastating in indicting our culture. She said, what has happened that is significant is that parents today admit, yeah, divorce is hard on kids, but they're tough, they can adjust, this is necessary for my well-being. And what she argued was the culture has shifted. That for decades, for generations, the attitude was, parents need to make sacrifices for the sake of kids. But now the attitude is, kids need to make sacrifices for the sake of parents. It seems parents now expect children to do the sacrificing for their happiness. They're, in fact, increasingly viewed as impediments to the goal of adult self-fulfillment. It wasn't that long ago that Planned Parenthood had a poster they put up all over our country. It was a woman in the 1930s sitting in a chair, and around her were 9 healthy, happy kids, and she was smiling. And do you know what they said at the bottom of the poster? It said, "They want to set you back a long way, baby." Now again, the woman was smiling. The kids were healthy and happy, but the image was clear. What thinking, enlightened woman would want that path when she could seek her own agenda? Children just don't seem to matter as much as they used to. And how foreign this all is to the testimony of Scripture. In the Bible, children are not viewed as baggage to lug along. They're viewed as blessings. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, that children are a gift from God. They are His reward. And it says in Psalm 119 or 13, verse 9, He gives childless couples a family. He gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. Do we need to be reminded that God Himself in the person of Jesus was once a child? And yet sometimes even in the family of God, children don't seem to matter like they should. I'm concerned when I read in a recent poll that 24% only of senior ministers said children's ministry is a priority in my church, which means that 3/4 of the churches of America are being led by men that don't think children's ministry is important. Or when 70% of Protestant churches report, "We can't staff children's programming because not enough people in our church care about it to show up to do the things we'd like to do to program quality ministry to kids." It seems many Christians have no desire to be bothered by babies either. Over 10 years ago, I got a note, the kind of note that is always anonymous. And it said, "Please do something," and I'm quoting, "Please do something about the disgusting, intolerable sound of crying babies at this church." The irony is that that card came exactly 1 week after I had preached on Mark chapter 9, verse 36 and 7. Would you like to see what Mark 9, 36 and 7 says? "He took a little child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" 1 week after we preached that, I get a card complaining about the disgusting sound of babies. A classic example of ever hearing and never understanding. You ever noticed that whenever Jesus needed a child for illustrative purposes, there was always one around? Whenever He needed a kid, there was always one to find. Evidently, kids were always around Jesus. Which raises the question, just how much did kids matter to Jesus? And according to Scripture, they matter a lot. Let me show you 3 things the Bible says about kids. First, according to Scripture, children are a kingdom priority. In fact, I like how it reads in Luke 18:15. It says, "People were bringing babies to Jesus to have Him touch them." Now, evidently, Jesus did not think the sound of babies was intolerable, because I suspect a few of them cried on the way there. He didn't think it was a distraction. In fact, look with me in Mark chapter 10, the rest of that story. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. Now I suggest the things that make you mad tell me what your values are. What makes you indignant reveals what you care about. The disciples were upset that people were trying to bring babies to Jesus. And Jesus was upset the disciples were stopping the babies from coming. Because the disciples' view of children showed their lack of understanding about the nature of the kingdom. See, the essence of the kingdom is grace. And what is grace? Grace is doing kindness to people who don't deserve it and can't pay it back. And that's why we need children around us to remind us what the kingdom is all about. I had the privilege summer before last to go to Africa, spend a week in Zambia with Jacob Sianangu, our missionary there. That's his picture. Now, Jacob has since married, but at the time he was not married, almost 50 years old. And we went when we arrived to his home, and when we went to his home, there were kids all over the place. I found out that all six there were his kids. He had adopted them. They were all orphans. A lot of orphans in Zambia because of the AIDS crisis. In fact, the year before, one of his kids had died of AIDS. And we got to love those kids. He had two little girls especially that were just precious. We fell in love with. He didn't tell us until 3 days later. They were HIV positive too. And that wasn't enough. So Jacob started an orphanage across town of his own money, building a house to keep 18 more kids who had no place to sleep. And some people might think, that's not his business. We sent him over there to preach the gospel and do kingdom work, not take care of kids. Hey, taking care of kids is kingdom work. He's doing exactly what Jesus would do if he saw those homeless, sick kids. Jesus gave children three precious gifts: time, touch, and prayer. And he never viewed attention given to kids as unproductive. In fact, many of his miracles were done for kids. And if the king values kids that much, shouldn't his subjects? According to Scripture, children are a kingdom priority. And next, the Bible says, according to Scripture, children have a real spirituality. You see, sometimes we have the idea that we should tolerate the kids until they get into high school or young adulthood, at which point they're fit objects for discipleship. And that's why we say things like, the children are the church of tomorrow. Where does the Bible ever say that? We act like children's worship is glorified babysitting until they can get old enough to really worship. Do you know what the Bible says God thinks about children's worship? Look with me in Matthew 21. When the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" God is blessed by the praise of children. And the church is blessed by their presence. We need the children among us because they help us live in the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Yes, we minister to children, but they minister to us because they teach us how to live in the kingdom. They're good at two things we're not very good at. They're good at trusting. They don't have any other plan except depending on their father. And they're good at receiving. We're bad at receiving. You can't give adults anything. They always say, "No, you don't have to." Well, all right, but next time it's on me. Kids never do that. My kids never say, "Next time, Dad, lunch is on me." We need to acknowledge there's a real spirituality to kids. We need to take it seriously and take seriously our responsibility to shape it and to mold it. Sometimes we think, you know, a child doesn't really have deep spiritual thoughts till they're 18, 19, 20. You know what research shows? Most children have their spiritual moorings set in place by the time they're 9. And the legacy of a child's faith is too significant to be allowed to develop in a vacuum. And that's why the third thing the Bible says is that according to Scripture, children need a nurturing community. You see, in biblical times, children were the concern of the entire community of faith, not just the home they were born in. So you have legislation, for example, in the law of Moses. If a child gets out of line, the whole community should discipline the child, not just the parents. And in the New Testament, for example, in Titus 2, it says, you old women, you get together with the younger women and you teach them how to raise their kids, because that's a blessing to the whole church. And in 1 Timothy 5, which widows should be supported by the church? The widows that are useful in raising children. You see, in the Bible, raising kids is not a solo act. Well, I've already raised my kids. That is how the culture thinks. That is not how the kingdom thinks. How many of us today can say, I thank God that when I was a child, He put brother or sister so-and-so into my life to make a difference when I needed somebody. One of our dearest friends and one of America's best ministers is a guy named Harold Shank, Memphis, Tennessee. Guy's got a PhD, reads Hebrew, and has a heart for the poor. He's helped start 13 churches in the worst parts of Memphis. Harold Shank didn't grow up in a Christian home. Parents never took him to church once. He went to a VBS at a Church of Christ down the street because they had good cookies. And next summer he went back for cookies. And a sweet lady named Mildred Stutzman grabbed that little boy and said, Harold, if you'll come to my class on Sunday, I'll teach you more Bible stories. And he did. And 2 years later he gave his heart to Christ. And Mildred Stutzman's gone on to be with the Lord. But praise God, she didn't think, well, I've already raised my kids. Praise God, Homer Ware didn't do that. I've told you, I was a little boy. I was a third grader. My folks were going to a new church. I was the only little boy in the church. And I hated it. I hated it. And I was in my little chair one day at church, and I had tears in my eyes. I was so unhappy about being there. And Homer Ware came into that classroom, one of our elders, and he got his body down in that little chair, and he put his hand on my back, and he says, Ricky, your mommy and daddy said someday you would like to be a preacher. I said, I thought about that, Brother Ware. He said, son, you'll be a great preacher. I am so thankful you come to our church. I'll do whatever I can for you. That was my ordination. And I'm so thankful that old man didn't say, well, I've already raised my kids. You have an obligation before God to make sure kids at this church know they matter to Him, whether you have any at home still or not. You know how many kids we have in this church? Let's do something just for fun. If you're sitting on a purple star, I want you to stand up right now. If you got a purple star, stand up. You represent the children in this church that are almost one. We have 138 kids almost one in our church. Sitting on a red star, stand up. You represent the 1 to 2 year olds, 180 of you in this church. Pink star, stand up. 3 and 4 year olds. There's 216 3- and 4-year-olds in our church. Stand up if you got a green star. 5- and 6-year-olds. 237 here. Yellow star, stand up. 7- to 9-year-olds. You ready for this? 368 in our church. Blue star, stand up. 10- to 12-year-olds, 197. You represent 1,300 kids that come to this church almost every week. Question. What are you going to do to bless them? Have a seat for just a moment. Let me talk to you. There's a sheet in your assembly program. If you don't have it, you're going to be given one by a child when you leave today. It looks like this. And it's going to ask you to care about kids. It's going to ask you to help teach, go to camp, work at the Welcome Center, be in the resource room, special events, or maybe just be a prayer warrior. You're going to fill it out. You're going to help kids. You're going to take it to the welcome center or the kids center over there by the far wall. And you're going to let kids know they matter to God. Will it bless your life? I tell you what. Watch this video we're about to see.
When you look at a child, you get to see God.
Those little kids, they don't know what you do during the week, or they don't care what your responsibilities are outside of that classroom. They just love being with you and love look forward to seeing you when you come in.
It was the last place in this church I thought I'd ever serve, just because my children are grown. But I love being in the threes. They're the most precious little things. So God had a much greater plan.
It's awesome to see the babies and hug and hold the babies.
It's a great experience to be able to tell a little one, you know, the first time about Joseph's coat of many colors.
You ought to see it when the lights come on and they see it and then listen to them pray. You just see the blessings of them learning and growing in Christ.
Michael didn't really want to stay in there when he went in, but now he looks forward to it on a weekly basis. It's been fun to get to know them, and a blessing just to watch them start learning to love God at such a young age.
The people I've been blessed to know, and the people he's given me the privilege to teach with and to build friendships with.
That's one of the things I've discovered, is there's some really wonderful people that are teaching in these young people's classes.
Once a year we have a time when we bring all the people that had been baptized up to the front of the church and stuff like that, and then they ask people to stand up that had anything to do with it. And 2 days later, a young lady named Grace came to say, "Why didn't you stand up?" And I knew then that that's where I needed to be, is in the children's ministry.
These kids, you know, when you see them in the class or out of the class or the next year or the year after, it's just wonderful when they run up and give you a big hug and say hello and act like you're just the neatest person around.
All I can do is be as a grandmother. And they said they need grandmothers too. And I have taken that and used that, and I feel like as a grandmother, they just need to be loved. They need to see a smiling, happy face that will love them. And that's how I feel like God has equipped me.
That's a great blessing, you know, to have a senior in high school walk across the atrium to give you a hug because you were his fifth grade teacher.
There's so many of them that they'll raise their hand real quick and say, "I want to sing Holy, Holy, Holy." And to hear those sweet little voices sing praises to God, I don't know that there's anything sweeter.
Jill and Stuart Briscoe had not been Christians for very long in England, a nation where there's not many Christians. And some friends of theirs they knew had tried for some years to get pregnant, finally did. They gave God the glory. He worked at a factory with no one else who believed. In fact, he were pretty contemptuous of his faith. And he told his co-workers that God is giving us a baby. They mocked him for that faith. Well, 9 months later, of course, the baby was born. It was born with Down's syndrome. And he knew when he went back to work that they would ask him in a contemptuous way what he thought about that. And he prayed for wisdom. And he went back to work and somebody said, "So, you still think God gave you that baby?" And he said, "Yes, I do. And I'm so glad God gave him to me and not to you." When it comes to the matter of children, the church has just one answer. They all matter. We love them. We accept them just as they are. We teach them and we receive from them. And that's how we live in the kingdom. And let me close by saying their nurture must be the first priority of every home. If the task of the church is to make disciples, then the most important place we do that is at home. That's why I believe the most significant evangelists in our church are our mothers. Paul has an interesting verse in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 15. He says, women will be saved through childbearing. What does he mean? It doesn't mean you have to have a child to go to heaven. I like the way the NLT gives an alternate translation. Through accepting their role as mothers. Mothering is loving and saving the world through Jesus Christ to the highest possible degree. Mom, your home is your congregation. I find it significant, for example, Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's how the book starts. The book ends in Proverbs 31, verse 26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. In the single book of the Bible that is more about wisdom than any other book, it starts, you better listen to your mom, and it ends, you better listen to your mom. So moms, do the work of an evangelist and let us help. There's a church up in Kansas. And out in front of that church there's a sidewalk. And in that sidewalk is the imprint of two little baby feet pointing toward the church building. Because over 20 years ago, when they poured that sidewalk and the cement was still wet, a young mom brought her baby up there and put his feet in that cement, pointing straight to church, as a pledge that she was going to dedicate him to the right path. When a child has a godly mother who takes that child to a church that really cares about kids, well, I'll tell you what, I like his chances. I want to pray now. And I want to ask all the moms and grandmoms to stand up while I do, because I want to pray over you. So would you stand, please? Father, I want to pray over all of these godly women who are standing, because their task is awesome. It's more awesome than mine. And the stakes are high. I pray that you will fill them with wisdom to be great evangelists in their home. Fill them with strength to endure all the long nights and days. With hope that even when it doesn't seem like their goals and dreams are being fulfilled, that they will not give up. And with renewed passion for their ministry. And a higher understanding of its great value in the kingdom of God. And I pray that we will be a church that will not only hold up the hands of these women, but will help them hold their kids. That this will always be a family where children matter. I pray out now also for all the women in this church that would like to be mothers, that you'll grant their desire soon. I pray that we will learn every time we see a child a little more about the kingdom. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand now, please. Elders are going to be in room 109 to receive people who need prayer today. I will be down front to receive anyone who wants to become a child of God and accept Jesus in the act of baptism. Let's sing this song together.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve. peace to you only. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Thank you. Remain standing, please. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisle? Guests can turn in the purple card now. Take it to the Welcome Center and you'll be given a packet that tells you more about our congregation. This Wednesday night, I'll continue our study of the Beatitudes. Come at 7 o'clock and join us. Now, you're about to leave. Take that sheet of paper that you have or that you're going to be given by some kids. Fill it out. Take it to the Children's Welcome Center and help us bless kids. Also, there's a place to sign up to pray about Servant Sunday next Sunday. Did you notice how many of our Servant Sunday ministries are for kids? The Recreation Ministry, Christ Haven, Bread for a Hungry World, Children's Ministry, the Counseling Center blesses kids, Open Arms blesses kids, the Food Bank. When you give to Servant Sunday, you're giving to children. So come prepared and help us pray about it. Go sign up. Becky, would you put the slides up, please, one more time to Jesus Loves the Little Children. Let's sing this song together, and then Jerry, would you come and close us, please, with a prayer.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Lord, we praise You for the day that we can focus today on children and moms. We thank You for the thousands of children that are part of this body, and they are part of the church of today. Their gentleness and their humbleness and their honesty and their questions convict their parents today. They convict their teachers today and the adults and the ministers and the leaders of this church. And they are the reason we are so connected to You in many reasons, Lord. Because they are Your voice to us today. They are Your eyes to us today. And Your love and Your passion and Your purity and Your holiness is in the flesh in them. Lord, we pray for these children. We give You praise for them, each and every one of them. They are a blessing. And how honored we are that You would bestow that many gifts to this family. They bring us together. And we are raising them as a community, Lord. And we're grateful for this community. So we give You thanks and praise this morning. And we ask for Your favor to bestow more children. And help us to be wise in the way that we lead them. in the way that we pastor them, in the way that we parent them. And help us to love them and to receive them just as they are, which is the way you receive us. Thank you for being our daddy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.